the bread out, but I don't think we've done that before. That was that was a first. But yeah, like with what Christ did for us at Calvary, it's amazing. I've got to let the kids go quickly, but before I start, can we just put the first slide up? And I want you all to see this. It's important that you do. Last Wednesday or Thursday week, not this week, the week before, I had a little bit of a shimmer in the left-hand side of my eye, and my eye was watery. And I thought, oh, that's a bit weird, just something's going on, cleaning out too much fluid in my eyes, been crying too much or something, too emotional, I don't know, you know, you get that way. But then on the weekend we were here in the market, most of you wouldn't have known, but I started to get this shadow across the left-hand corner of my eye. And seeing, looking out, if I looked with one eye, I was basically, I could bring my finger across and then it would disappear into the shadow, about there. And I thought, wow, there was something funny going on here. Then on Monday I woke up, I walked out, I said, Dilek, I can hardly see. I could come across to there, then I was in blackness. And I finally rang someone and they said, go to an optician straight away and get a scan. So I get in there and you can't see that real clear on that picture, unfortunately. But they panicked. And they said, look, it's serious. You've got a retinal separation at the back of your eye, but it's pushed off by what looks like a mole or a wart on the front. Now, we can't actually see it that clearly. It's a lot clearer on the smaller thing, but there's a hazy thing right here, like a half oval, just in there. And anyway, the two of them down here at Leung's opticians huddled over together, and then they finally said, look, we doubt that your eyesight's going to come back. It looks like a melanoma. And they made an appointment for me to go and see a specialist in Melbourne. And so I came home, I said to Lek what was going on. We went round to Kerry's that night, and of course, you get every thought you can think of, something is wrong. I'm going to go blind in one eye. How am I going to cope? But Kerry prayed and said, in the name of Jesus, whatever that growth is, whatever that thing is, we've commanded to leave his body. But I went home and I'm still in a bit of a quandary. And I get the thoughts that are what the doctor said as opposed to what my faith says. And I started to think what the Word of God says. And in Mark 11:23, that if we say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart. And I said, God, I got an issue. I've got a heart that's in doubt. I really feel bad. And I just wanted you to see that, because today, can you see, my eye is following my finger fully. That's our God. Woohoo! I'm going to tell the story to everyone in church and anyone else wants to see it later on. But kids, you got a lot to do upstairs, so please, I'll let you go. And now I'm going to tell the story to everybody else how good God is. He's amazing. Now, of course, we'll go on to the second slide, which brings up this Mark 11:23 scripture. And I'm here thinking, what do I do? They left Bethany and Jesus was hungry, and in the distance he saw a fig tree with leaves, and so he went up to a fig tree with leaves looking for fruit and found none. Now, even though the Bible says it wasn't really the season for figs, there's an issue here. When there's no figs on a tree, the tree's usually bare. When the season comes for figs to grow, now we've got several fig trees at home, the figs begin to bud and grow. as the figs begin to grow, the leaves then grow to protect the figs from the elements so that they're protected from sun and getting burnt, and so they will grow and be healthy. You see a fig tree with leaves, you assume it has got figs on it. Unless you've got a place like ours where there's cockies everywhere, which you've got to cover it up and keep them away. But a fig tree without leaves was very significant because that is an expression to us of don't portray having life in God and have no fruit to show for it. We can't be fig trees with leaves without fruit. The fruit is essential. And I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of things that portray themselves as godly, as Christianity, as hoo-ha and life in whatever circles of Christian spheres you may be in, but there's no fruit under the facade of the leaves. And we need to ensure that we're right into the Word of God. We can't be fig trees with leaves and not have the life of God being manifested in and through us. Anyway, so Jesus saw this and he said, well, you have portrayed to be something that you are not. That's why he cursed the fig tree. You're showing me that you've got something that you don't really have. Let nobody have fruit from you forever. And he walked away. And they went away and then they had other things to do. Jesus went into the temple, and that was where he found that they were trading and doing things they shouldn't have been doing in the temple, threw all the chairs over, got all cranky with everybody, drove them out and said, my house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Again, picture again, the house of God being one thing, but inside being a business association that was really corrupted by man's input rather than having the life of God there. Boy, that's a fig tree without leaves. Interesting. Anyway, they left that place and they sojourned back. Let's have a look at the next one. And so they're walking back the next morning and they saw the fig tree had withered from the roots. Isn't that incredible? You know, if God's not pleased with our life, watch out that he doesn't cause a little bit of withering to take place. But this thing withered from the roots. And Peter just said, Lord, look, Master, the fig tree, the curse has withered. And Jesus said, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, now listen to this. This is so important. This is what God ministered to me last Monday night. Truly I tell you that if anyone says to this mountain, a mountain doesn't necessarily mean a pile of dirt. It can be an issue. It can be a challenge. It can be anything coming against us in life that is making us climb to places we may not normally have to climb through or go through. But if we speak to it and say to it, be removed, be lifted up, be thrown into the sea, or and shall not doubt. And I tell you what, that next line really got me. I said, God, how do I stop doubting in my heart? What I know you heal me. I know that you've provided for me. I know the cross was my source of healing, life, and wholeness. But you get a situation like this, and I was in a quandary. I didn't want to doubt. And I knew it was against everything I'd ever taught and believed and stood for in faith. You know, I've had people come to me, oh, I wish I had the faith you've got, you know, and all say things like that. They don't know the fight I have to have that faith. I've got to go make sure my mind is protected with the armor of God. I want to stop the thoughts and the doubts penetrating and taking hold. I want to keep on the breastplate of righteousness so my heart is purified. The Bible tells me the heart of man, not the pump thing, the rest of the real me inside, is deceitful and corrupt and above all, it's very wicked. You who can know it? Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart flow the issues of life. So if I talk to you about don't be afraid, don't be a person with fear, don't let fear dominate you, but I'm an afraid person, you know what will come out of my heart? Fear. I will transmit fear into you. It will be fear in my message, regardless of what I say, if my heart is full of fear, and I'm trying to just talk different. So that's the reality of how powerful it is to speak what becomes life and truth within you. It has to be a personal experience. And I said, God, I know who you are. I know. Now, this doubt in my heart's driving me crazy. And I was inspired to have a look at a video, but you must believe it will happen, it will be done. And therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. So the doubts are there to stop you receiving what God's got for you. Any of that mindset scenario that the world throws at you, or believing what the doctor says, I can tell, I've said this before, the doctor's report's not the final word. It's just information for you to go and pray about. In Jesus' name. All right, next one. This is an interesting one. Count it all joy. Wow, when you meet trials of various kinds. What's to be joyful about when there's a trial? Is there any, oh, goody, goody, I'm in a trial. No, we don't get that way, do we? It's always a negative response in the beginning. What we've got to do is overcome that. Praise is one of the greatest ways of doing it. God, I'm praising you because every trial that comes my way, you've provided an answer for. You've provided a remedy. You've provided a way out. You told me the steps of a good man walk in the order of the Lord, and therefore I'm walking in the order that you've, and whatever this trial's trying to do to me in the name of Jesus, I speak to it and command it to have no effect, and that my life will be governed by your life. Wow, that's a prayer of faith. That's where we need to stand. But some people go, oh, and they cave in under the first sign of pressure. That caving in is basically, I'm surrendering to the pressure and I'm surrendering to the trial and I'm not standing in faith. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might by putting on everything that protects us that God provided for. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. I like that. Let steadfastness and patience, in another translation, come to full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Oh, I love that. Wow. Wow. Standing in faith, standing strong in steadfastness so that it may come to full effect and ensure we are perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. If we lack wisdom and not know where to go, ask God who gives generally to all without any reproach. He's not going to say, look, you really should know better than that. He will just provide what you need for you. And ask in faith with no doubting. I love that. Maybe God wants to, maybe he doesn't. This is what I've heard some people say. Oh, maybe God wants to heal me, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's trying to teach me something. The Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. Not doubt, not sickness, not disease, not trials. God's not trying to teach us anything through this world's means. And a guy come to me, he's one day just lost a lot in his business. He said, God sent me broke to teach me something. I said, what did he teach you? Oh, I don't know yet. Well, then he haven't taught you nothing because you'd know by now what it was. God does not use bankruptcy to teach you anything. He's a God of blessing. He's a God of prosperity. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. If God's trying to send you broke, he's a liar because his word is completely different to that. Ooh. Never understood me. Thought I was crazy. He stayed broke. I can't help that. God's word has to be true. Let God be true and every man a liar, it says in the scriptures. Ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea. It has no function of its own. It blows this way when the wind's that way, and it rises that way when the wind goes that way. And the word of God tells us, do not be like the waves of the sea, blown and tossed at the direction of the wind. Let not that person, suppose, think, or presume that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he or she is a double-minded person, unstable in all their ways. Man, we've got to overcome doubt and disbelief. We've got to overcome whatever we think in our mind whatever's attacking us from the perspective of, you'll never get that. That's not for you. No, you're not good enough. I tell you what, I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've been made holy, accepted, and righteous in the Beloved. And Christ died for me to redeem me from the curse of sin and death and place me at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. Well, I tell you what, you get a perspective of what God's made you to be, and it has to be your revelation. Remember praying. We had a chihuahua that got really sick with leukemia. And we prayed and that dog got totally healed. Completely healed. And there was a woman in another church came up and said, can you write out the prayer you prayed for your dog? Because my cat's sick and I need to get my cat needs healing. I said, isn't that good? My prayers are good for you. Why don't you seek the Lord, get an answer from the scriptures? Lek and I, when that chihuahua was so ill and the vet said, look, I better put it down. Lek rang me and said, I said, take the dog home. Vet's not going to jab the dog. Take the dog home. We got the dog home. It's laying in the basket there. And it's absolutely, you know, we haven't put water in and glucose in an eyedropper to get anything into it. Absolutely looked like it wasn't going to survive. I said, we need a scripture from God. I know the Bible says, by your stripes you're healed. I don't think it applies to the dog. I know the Bible says that healing belongs to us. I don't think it belongs to the dog. We need something that we can stand on in God's word that relates to the dog. Anyway, she's praying and I'm praying and we're walking around doing our things. And all of a sudden, the scripture from Psalm 91 belted into my mind and my spirit. Neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. The prognosis of this dog was bad. The sickness was it had the worst white cell blood count of any animal this vet had ever seen, and the leukemia level was through the roof. I went to Lek, I said, neither shall any plague come nigh our dwelling. She said, that's it. We walked in and we said, dog, in the name of Jesus, no plague belongs in this home. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling. Leukemia, you're a plague. You get out in the name of Jesus. This dog will survive, be healed, be made whole, and be restored in the name of Jesus. And we made a pact between us that every time we walk past the dog, in the name of Jesus, you're being healed. Leukemia's gone. There's no plague will come near this dwelling. This home is a home of God. It's a house of prayer. There's no way we're being attacked by a plague. We just confess that. And we're still feeding the dog with a dropper. The next morning, I put a bowl of water there. There was always a bowl of water near the dog. And I see the dog. First motion of lapping or doing anything in quite a while. 2 weeks later, we were due to go to Perth for Christmas to Lek and Di's parents' home. And we took the dog with us out in the Nullarbor. Gets out of the car, running around, excited, full health, fully whole, fully healed and fully restored. Why? Because we stood in faith without wavering. Why? Because we sought out our own remedy from God's word. And we believed in faith for that dog. No plague would come nigh our dwelling. Well, glory to God. That dog was 3 and a half when that happened and had died at 17. That's long life for a chihuahua. Well, I'm telling you, when you stand in faith, God will honor that every time. But it must become your own seeking and searching of God's word in your heart and life as a reality that it belongs to you. You can't come to me and say, oh, what was that prayer you prayed over your dog? I need to get my dog healed. I won't tell you. In fact, I couldn't even tell you probably. I'm giving you what the gist of it was, but it probably wasn't much different to what I prayed just then, because that's the way I stand in faith. And so, no double-mindedness, no instability, and let not that man think he'll receive anything if that's the way he's tossed around by winds and waves and, oh, this happened, oh. Well, I don't take any notice of circumstances, because circumstances are subject to the name of Jesus. And that's it. That's what we've got to learn, but it's got to be our own personal understanding of God's word and God's heart and life. Can we move on, Anthony? I was then prompted to look for a testimony on healing. And so I thought, where will I go? And so I get on the internet and I went into, because I knew Andrew Womack's Ministries has got this testimonies of healing within on his website. So I go in there and then I put in healing of sight and eyes. And up comes this amazing video that took my faith level from wherever I was with potential doubts and doubting in my heart and thinking of, you know, all the things that everyone had said. It took me to a level where nothing could have fazed me in any way, shape or form. Have a listen to this amazing story.
Having to take in a gorgeous sunset, one cloud at a time. Imagine seeing the world through a straw. You've just experienced rod cone dystrophy, a rare and incurable disease which often leads to blindness. This is the story of Bianca, a young woman in Norway, and her fight to have her eyes open.
When I was a child, I could see everything, but the field was going smaller, 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 smaller. And at the end, I only had the vision here in the central part. In 2008, I had the last examinations. And then they told me it was 10, and there it was only 15% left.
It was nothing you can do about it, and it was a serious problem. It can be worse.
Almost blind or blind.
No, that was not a nice doctor's report.
During this time, Bianca and Gerd attended a small church in Hamar, where they met Robert and Elizabeth Muren. Bianca was attracted to Elizabeth's Christ-centered confidence and had to know what her secret was.
She gave me her visit card, and then she wrote on the back side, go to the website of Andrew Womack, because we have learned a lot of it. It changed my life, and I think it is what you need. We were sitting there and saw the first teaching, and it was the starting of the teaching, spirit, soul, and body. When I hear it, I think, why does I struggle 20 years to figure it out? And now I'm hearing all of it, and that's all I need. It was a big revelation. And it totally, totally changed our minds and our lives. After that, we saw some other teachings. God wants you well, and also you have already got it.
We heard so much new thing, and we heard that God has do everything already, and it was a very big change in our life.
Now I realize that, okay, my eyes, I don't need to have this. Why I have these eyes if God already done it? It is finished.
This is our third tape in a series that I have entitled, You've Already Got It, and this tape is entitled, It's in the Spiritual Realm.
All throughout her house, Bianca posted scriptures of God's promises to help keep her mind focused on all Jesus had provided. One day, this paid off when Andrew's revelation finally became her own.
I was sitting and reading the Bible, and then I realized that, wow, what I have, it's so amazing. And I just started to praise God about it and thank Him for everything He's done, and that He don't need to do something to heal me, that He did already do that on the cross. Andrew told, just speak to your problem. So I actually speaking to my eyes and say, eyes, you were healed in the name of Jesus. So you must see. You must see now. You are healed, you know? And then I opened my eyes, and it was just like, it was clear and unclear, but it was coming and coming and going. But I was just praising God. I closed my eyes again, and I was praising God and thank Him for what He has done. And then I told my eyes again, you are healed in Jesus' name. And then I was opening my eyes, and they were totally clear. I could see everything. And I think, wow, that is so amazing. I could see the trees outside, the flowers, everything. It was so good. I thought, I can see Gerd. He was working 30 kilometers from our house. So I drove with the car to see him. And then I told him, hey, you, go with me. And then there was standing a car, maybe 20 meters, I don't know. And I told him, you know that sign? And I take the numbers of the sign of the car. And he looked at me, what's happened? I'm healed. I can see everything. It is so strange. And we were so glad, and I testing it out whole day. The first week, I had actually a headache because I seeing so much. I was totally healed, but in the days after, sometimes it just going back to the old. I was looking and then, oh, it's not clear anymore. And then I felt like it's going till the old again. I was mad about my eyes because it was like the devil is knocking, see if I'm opened. And I say, no, I'm closed. And I say it, Lily, I am closed, I am healed. So eyes you must see in Jesus' name. And then, whoosh, it's opened again. But it happened a couple of times. But now it's fine, it's never coming back again.
Bianca and her family have been forever changed after Andrew's teaching pointed them to the true gospel. Not.
Wow. I don't know if that pushes your buttons like it pushed mine, but I'll tell you what. I saw that and it brought so much of, you know, insight and understanding that I knew was already there, but you just get thwarted by the situation. And I took that, what that woman said, and I trusted God and I said, Lord, I'm in your hands and I know the work's done and I receive it in Jesus' name. So from that, that was on the Monday night. On the Tuesday, I woke up and I'm standing in the kitchen. I closed my left eye and I looked out my right eye and I got a dislocated or a dislodged retina. So the retina going back, you've got no capacity to see where that retina's not there. I couldn't believe it, but I could see the light across our paddock. I could see the reflection of the sun. I could make out the shape of the trees. It was black before that. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, you're at work. What are you doing? This is so amazing. But I'm going in tomorrow because if that retina's got to be stitched back on, so be it. Like when my heart valve tore, I had to have it stitched up. God, for some reason, and you know, it was pretty serious. And I thank God for the medical profession and the advances in science and technology in that area. I really do. So I get in there the next day, and the guy does a scan of my eye. Is that one up next, Anthony? Where's that patch? Where is that growth? Where is that problem area? That was, and I said to the guy, I said, there's supposed to be a patch there. Have you got the optician's scan? He said, well, there's nothing here. I said, as far as I'm concerned, this is just a straightforward retina stitch back on and it's all done. Come on. How good is God? How good is that? So I said, oh, that's cool. When do we do that? He said, we're going to try and get it done today. He said, a retina separation is serious. He says, yours is back about halfway at the moment. And any further, and it's getting to the no-go possibilities. He says, you're just in the nick of time. And arranged everything with a surgeon right there and then and said, be back at 5 o'clock. We're going to do it. I said, what happens? You know, we've got this thing that pulls your eyeball out and we stitch the back up and pop it back in and, you know, you'll have a bit of blurred vision for a little while, but it'll all, you know, it should be fine. And he was really confident, young guy. So from there, I go in and see the surgeon, and he's pretty confident as well. He goes, yeah, look, it's straightforward, not a problem. Everything's going to be fine. So come back at 4 o'clock, and we'll take you into the preparation thing. So I come back at 4 o'clock with Lek in the waiting room and go in there with a male nurse, young Asian guy, and he goes, he sits me down and he asks me a few things. Do you know why you're here? He thought it might have been a little bit loopy or something. I don't know. I said, look, I know why I'm here. I've got a retinal separation. It's got to be put back together. Da-da. Yep, okay, fine. You understand everything clearly. That's good. You got any questions? And I asked a couple of things about the time it took and a few other things. And he goes, you must be nervous. I said, no. Why? You have to be nervous. I said, I'm not nervous. You're anxious. You're worried. I said, no, I'm not. Why? And he went, I don't believe you. I'm going to take your blood pressure. I said, what's that going to tell you? Well, if you've got high blood pressure, we have to take you through another process to drop your blood pressure because we can't operate on an eye with high blood pressure. And I'm like, oh, do whatever, you know. Here you go. So he sticks the thing on and he goes, oh, wow. I said, what's up? He goes, nothing. You're 115 over 72. Now, I don't know if you know much about blood pressures, which I don't either, but apparently that's really good. he said, you're definitely not worried then. You're definitely not stressed or anxious. I said, no. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. It's got to be done. It's got to be done. What's the point of worrying? And then he said, well, but everyone goes into having an eye surgery done has some sort of stress. I said, my Bible tells me to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. He's looking at me. I says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. I said, I stand in righteousness with God. His ear is open to my prayer. I've got his attention. He knows what I need and I've already got it, so don't worry about it. You know, just stitch the eye up. And he's like, oh. I said, my Bible says, and I started quoting a couple of other scriptures about healing and standing in faith and the confidence I have in God. This is if the confidence we have in him, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And he's going, oh, amen. You know, and I said, you're obviously not a Christian, you know, I could tell. And he was, but he'd obviously been somewhere enough to know to say amen. So anyway, he walked out and he was blown up. I could tell he was just, what have I hit sort of thing, you know. And he came back in later. He said, how are you going? I said, yeah, fine, chill. You know, he says, oh, it could be another half, 3 quarters of an hour. I said, yeah, that's fine. So I just rested on my hand on the desk there, and this other nurse comes in, and I wasn't aware she was there straight away because I'd obviously dozed off a little bit. And I opened my left eye, and she's there. She said, oh, come and lay down up the back. I said, oh, whatever, it's fine, you know. And she starts sort of talking about it, so I started to share with her. I'm trusting God. And how much of an opportunity do we have to praise God in circumstances rather than be worried and stressed and out of ordinary? The whole difference is what that lady on that thing said eventually, reading the word, and said, why for 20 years have I put up with this when it's already mine? The revelation that it belonged to her suddenly was personalized. She took ownership. It became her own revelation of what God has done. I think there's a bit more after that one. Is there another one? This is upside down and round the other way. And that's a much clearer picture. That's unbelievable and so instant and so clear and so good. And you cannot, that's sort of central, but the patch was there. And that's the second shot. He took a few series. And that's my macula, which is an eye nerve. He says, your optical nerve's perfect, your macula's perfect. There was another one which I didn't put up, which just showed the eye on a 3D side vision with the retina folded back over where it had let go on one. It actually let go this side. Because when you're looking in from that way, it sort of reverses. And that other picture showed it off. And they said, oh, it's done under a local anesthetic. I said, what? But it was local, all right. The head was completely out of it. I thought I'd be going to be sitting there saying, oh, what are you doing next? You know, but that didn't happen. But I could still hear a couple of things they were saying. And right, yeah, and this machine, whatever it was, just went... stitching it all back together, and I'm like, this is out of this world. I wish I could see it all. But yeah. And anyway, they said, you know, okay, all done, come back and sit down and just put him in the thing. I could hear they say gonna put him over in the corner and let him recover and wake up. And but the capacity that we have in God far outweighs anything this world can throw at us. You know, and there are so many reasons. I was talking to a guy about my eye just this morning on the way down here. And he said, it's interesting, a fella recently with cancer lung cancer, said he was going in to have another scan because they wanted to operate. And this guy's preacher up at another church, he said, well, I believe God has got it under control and he's telling me to tell you not to worry about it. Well, that's sort of very simple and straightforward. But he went in there and they took the scan at Peter Mac, and the guy doing the scan says, oh, it hasn't worked properly. Hang on, we'll do it again. And they did it again. He went and got someone else, another radiographer, and he said, have a look at this. What cancer are we talking about? So they went and got his previous scans, and there it is, all in full flight. And here's his new scan with the lung totally clear. That's the power of our God. Now, he didn't stand in faith like I did, and I don't know whether he had that capacity. But someone else said, God has just told me to tell you not to worry. It's in his hands. He's got it under control. Well, I guess that's enough. Don't worry. But we need to be prepared to look and get our own revelation, insight, and understanding of God's word. The Bible tells us to stand in faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. The word of God builds up our faith. It encourages us. If there's a need in our life, in my life, in your life, find the answer in God's words first. With Andrew Womack's teaching, I feel prompted to actually put a one night a week on here and go through the series. It's already done. Healing belongs to you and body, soul, and spirit. Now, I've already taught on body, soul, and spirit. It was up on the thing recently. And how we work, I think it's still in this one. It's still there. I think unless the kids have destroyed it, now it's all wiped off. But we are a three-part being. I have a body that I live in, but my inner me is my spirit and soul, which the spirit is the area of our lives that are not awakened up to anything to do with God until we're born again, and then our spirit man comes alive. The conflict area is the area of the soul. God's saying one thing, the world's through our flesh is saying another, and our governance has to switch to the governance of the kingdom of God through faith in God's word. And that's an important part. And I challenge you, regardless of what the circumstances or situations are, to find the answer in God's word for that situation. Whatever God... It can be a scripture that doesn't actually have to mention the situation. It can purely be a scripture that God gives you a revelation of for your faith to be built up where you stand strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And that strength in God and faith in God will hold you firm, fast, and steadfast in any situation to ensure you stand rock solid on what Christ has done already. What he has already done belongs to us. You know, it's a fast to say, Lord Jesus, please come and heal me. He's going, huh? What did I do 2,000 years ago? I came and provided it. It's there. You've just got to receive it. Open up. Become a receiver of that healing that's already yours. You have a right to it. As a child of God, receive it. That's really the essence of it. Father God, I thank you that it's already done. It's in the spirit realm. It's already at work. It's already mine. It's already for me to receive, and I take it by faith in the name of Jesus. We stand strong in the word of God. I don't think there was anything else up there, was there, Anthony? We've got a croak there somewhere. There's a crackle in the system today, but I thought it was me, but it wasn't. But anyway, there's something. There's a gremlin there somewhere. So the Bible says this in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, prayer and supplication, which is heartfelt and sincere petition combined with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You notice that woman? She started to praise God. She saw it belonged to her, and she started to give thanks. Thank you, Lord, it belongs to me. Wow. A lot of people don't give thanks until they see it. We need to be able to praise God even when we don't see it, because it really does belong to us. It's the work that Christ has done. Anything else? Can't remember. 1 Peter. Oh, I love this. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lip from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good and must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are inclined to their prayers. But the face of the Lord are against those who do evil. And it's definitely not me, is it? No. Must be something crackling somewhere. So? Do you? Ah. No, not that one. But, you know, there it is. Again, it comes back to the Bible tells us as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Our hearts must be thinking what God says. I want my mind thinking what God's thinking. I want my heart thinking what God's thinking. I don't want to be distracted by what's being said in the world. Because this world, to be friends with the world is to be at enmity with God, the Bible says. If the world says one thing and God says another, guess which one I got to believe? And that's the way that it is. So my encouragement to you today is to get into that word. Ask God for any situation that you have to find an answer in there, and we will find what God gives you to stand on. You can then say, Lord, your word says, and I thank you for it. I believe it's mine. I receive it by faith, and I give you the glory for it in the name of Jesus. Job done. It's definitely not that. It's getting worse, but Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your life poured out. We thank you for what you've opened our eyes to see today. And praise you, Lord God, for your goodness and for the way that you guide, lead, and direct us. For you did say that you would order our steps. And so I thank you, Lord, that as situations come, you order our steps in and through those situations to be strong and victorious through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the provisions of Calvary. We thank you, Lord God, that you made it available to us and freely have given it. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
Amen. God is so good. Wasn't that one? Well, you just turned that off and it's gone. That's still there. All right, well, let's go. Great. We have now got some time of fellowship and great fun out there with coffee and whatever happened here.
Sing the song.